From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns begins his second message in a new series on the 11th chapter of the Epistle to the Hebrews. Hebrews 11 sums up the lives of many of the Old Testament saints with the simple phrase, by faith. So it is often referred to as Faith's Hall of Fame. In the course of this series, Dr. Cairns will apply the faith of the various characters to the lives of Christ's people in this day. Before dealing with the individuals named in the chapter, Dr. Cairns continues to lay the groundwork for the study. This message is called The Twin Pillars of the Faith, taking Hebrews 1, verses 2 and 3 as the text. We'll see that there is God's witness to the faith of His people. As Dr. Cairns will emphasize, biblical faith is not simply an acknowledgement of certain facts. It is a wholehearted embracing of Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from Morning by Morning, a collection from the pen of Charles Haddon Spurgeon. This morning's text is found in Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. We are told that the captain of our salvation was made perfect through suffering. Therefore, we who are sinful and who are far from being perfect must not wonder if we are called to pass through suffering too. Shall the head be crowned with thorns, and shall the other members of the body be rocked upon the dainty lap of ease? Must Christ pass through the seas of his own blood to win the crown? And are we to walk to heaven dry-shod in silver slippers? No. Our Master's experience teaches us that suffering is necessary, and the true-born child of God must not, would not escape it if he might. But there is one very comforting thought in the fact of Christ's being made perfect through suffering. It is that he can have complete sympathy with us. He is not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. In this sympathy of Christ, we find a sustaining power. One of the early martyrs said, "I can bear it all, for Jesus suffered, and he suffers in me now. He sympathizes with me, and this makes me strong." Believer, lay hold of this thought in all times of agony. Let the thought of Jesus strengthen you as you follow in his steps. Find a sweet support in his sympathy. And remember that to suffer is an honorable thing. To suffer for Christ is glory. The apostles rejoiced that they were counted worthy to do this. Just so far as the Lord shall give us grace to suffer for Christ, to suffer with Christ, just so far does he honor us. The jewels of a Christian are his afflictions. The regalia of the kings whom God hath anointed are their troubles, their sorrows, and their griefs. Let us not, therefore, shun being honored. Let us not turn aside from being exalted. Griefs exalt us, and troubles lift us up. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him.
Sendeth more strength when the labor's increased. Who added affliction, he added his mercy. Who multiplied trials, his multiplied. love has no limit, His grace has no measure, His power has no boundary, known unto men. For out of His infinite riches
listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you've tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. We've been particularly encouraged by the response to the program content and the format. So if you have written to say that the Lord has blessed you, or to ask for some of the literature that we offer, then take our thanks for taking time to do so. And if you haven't yet done so, we would be delighted to hear from you. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular postal mail. You may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. As you can see, it's easy to contact us. Also, if you enjoy the program, you might like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and that you'll join us on our website this week.
Hebrews chapter 11, the first three verses of the chapter. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the words were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to this reading from his own precious word for his name's sake. As we looked at Hebrews 11 and 1 last Sabbath morning, we learned that the word substance has the idea of confidence. The word evidence has in it the idea of conviction. So that faith is the confidence of things hoped for. The word has in it the notion also, and it was used in ancient times to carry this idea of the title deeds to your property. So it's such a confidence in the things we hope for that it is in our hand the very title deed of those things that God has promised. It is the evidence, the conviction, not a make-believe, but a God-planted conviction of things that the mortal eye cannot see. In other words, faith is sight. I was pointing out, if you recollect, that faith is not a leap in the dark. Faith is the opposite to darkness and blindness. Faith is sight. The fact that it doesn't deal with the world of the natural, but the world of the supernatural, does not in any way detract from the reality of the things that faith perceives. And I took some time last Lord's Day morning to emphasize that faith deals in the world of spiritual, supernatural reality. Now, when we consider these two statements of verse 1, that it is the confidence, and I want you to notice these words, of things hoped for, our emphasis there is upon the Word of God. What we hope for in Scripture are the things that God has promised. Then it is the conviction of things not seen, but nonetheless real. There we are dealing with God's works. Now, faith ultimately comes down to these two things, God's Word and God's works. When you get that clearly in your heart and mind, I think then you'll be able to see what many commentators have had a hard time seeing, how, with Paul's great purpose in this chapter, how he gets from verse 1 to the thought of verse 3. It seems to be somewhat incongruous to the rest of what he has got to say. But in actual fact, as usual, the Holy Ghost knows a lot better than the commentators. And you'll find that the idea of God's Word and God's work supplies the key. With regard to the Word of God, verse 2 tells us, by faith, or literally in virtue of faith, the elders obtained a good report. That's a very good translation. But I want us to use the form that Paul used originally. It doesn't make very good English, but it makes the point I want to make this morning. Paul said literally, in virtue of this, the elders were witnessed to. Then, in regard to the work of God, verse 3 tells us, that faith glories in God's work of creation as being the foundation of every other work. Now I want us to think of these two things, verse 2 and verse 3 this morning, as the twin pillars of faith. And I can sum it up very simply. Verse 2 tells us that God believes in the faith of His people. Remember at the end of John chapter 2 that we read that there were many who believed in Christ, but He did not commit Himself unto them. The words "commit Himself unto them" mean He didn't believe in them. There were many who professed to believe in Jesus, but Jesus did not believe in them, and He didn't believe in their faith. It was a false faith. It was a faith in signs. It was a faith that was rooted in the sensual, not in the spiritual. It was a faith that was out to grab earthly prosperity, but had no sight of the glories of the Lamb, and it had no heart for eternal reality. Any man's religion that is rooted in the sensual, rooted in the material, rooted in the temporal, may go under the name of faith to man, but God does not believe in that faith. But here we are told concerning His people that they are witness to. God believes in the faith of His people. Verse 2 and verse 3. The faith of His people believes in God. There you've got the summary of these twin pillars of faith. I want us to think of those in order. First, God's witness to His people's faith. When you think of it, there are 1,189 chapters in the Bible. If you were to go through all 1,189 of them, you would find that a great number are given over, totally or in part, to this witness which the Lord is raising up to the faith of His people. You go through the Old Testament and then the New Testament, and again, God is giving us a divine record of people who believed Him and who through faith in Him did mighty things on the earth for His glory. God witnesses to the faith of His people. And it's still true today. If you're one of God's people, He witnesses to your faith. First of all, He witnesses to the existence of the faith of His people. Actually, I believe that is the basic meaning of the text. When it says, by it, or in virtue of this faith, the elders were witness to, I think it's saying that the Lord witnessed that they were true believers. And when I stopped to think of this, it struck me very forcibly that when the Lord wanted to witness to these people, now, they had done mighty things. They were men. And if you read on through this chapter, you'll see what they did. They were men who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness and obtained promises and stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword out of weakness, were made strong, waxed valiant in the fight, and so on down. They did mighty things, important things. But when the Lord came to give His witness to them, before He ever said a word about their works, He witnessed to the fact that they were believers. That's the all-important thing. I don't want to get away off on a side issue, but I can't let it go without a word. We are told by dispensationalists of the wilder sort that these Old Testament believers got saved by keeping the law, whereas you and I got saved by grace through faith. I find here that they got saved the very same way that I got saved, by the same God, through the same merit, and by means of faith. And the object of faith in Scripture is always the same. It is a strange quirk of Bible interpretation to say that in the Old Testament it was God who was the object of faith, and in the New Testament it is Christ who's the object of faith. That's nonsense. For the simple reason that from the beginning of time, yes, indeed, from the very beginning even of the angelic creation, no creature has ever had any dealings with God except in and through the Word of God, the Son of God. He is the Logos. He is the expression of God. He is, therefore, if you want it, the creature's point of contact with God. And God as the object of faith must always mean God in the person of His Son revealed. The Old Testament believers were saved by faith. But notice this. The world wants to emphasize what men do. It wants to think that men are because of what they do. And the world celebrates wondrous exploits. And of course this carries over into the religious realm, and there is the notion that if you do enough, then God is going to be mightily pleased with it. Oh, that we would learn this morning that the very first thing the Lord is interested in your life is the existence of faith in Jesus Christ. You may boast about what you've done, about the churches you belong to, about the spiritual interest that you've taken and all the rest of it, but the Lord is looking for the one thing, first and foremost, and that is a living, saving faith in Jesus Christ. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. It's important to me that I'm a Presbyterian. It's important to me that I'm a Protestant. It's important to me that I'm a receiver of Reformed theology, what they call the doctrines of grace. Though, mind you, I don't really like to hear people muttering that little phrase. They have made it nearly I'll not go into that. But anyway, those things are important to me. But there are people who had all those things and they're in hell today. I personally have met people and they were all that I have said. But they were without Christ. The Bible never says, be a good Presbyterian and you'll get to heaven. It never says, be a good Calvinist and you'll get to heaven. But it does say, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. God is looking for faith. And where He doesn't find the existence of saving faith, He finds a soul that's lost.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.